Praise God. Hey, let's pull together. We'll get shared. If you're still getting drinks, that's fine. Try to make your way back to your seats. Just share the word. There is some things on my heart, actually. I really want to share.
I said that we love him so much, and it's a pleasure that when he comes back, and that every seed, when you plant the seeds, they are producing after its own time. So don't sit under this teaching for nothing. But I want you to know that the seeds are planted, and we may not always do the way we should be doing, but I believe it's like coming, there's an increase coming in this group. So when you come back,
I just love coming back, and I'm very encouraged. I never believed that seeds don't produce, because the Bible says they do, and I appreciate that word to just keep me encouraged. When you travel and you teach and you go anywhere and you share, the greatest reward and blessing is when people take heed and actually start multiplying in what you share. I mean, the greatest reward is when you see life stirring and people and multiplication and the grace and love of God flow in. It's just the greatest thing you can see is when the revelation in your heart is reproduced. Amen. So it just doesn't get any better than that. So I appreciate that. I received that. Amen. Man, it was awesome how we were singing. Simple little song. I used to remember it from Sunday school when I was a kid. Silas singing, "This Little Light of Mine, I'm Gonna Let It Shine." Think about that. Somewhere along the line, in this country, we've turned the gospel so much about us just receiving from God and God taking good care of us and meeting our needs, to where if we're not careful, we'll reduce this Bible to a book of precepts that we try to apply to get results. And it's very impersonal, and it has nothing to do with the love of God or our created value or the real reason Jesus died in the first place. I'm just going to cap that real quick and just share it, and then there's something on my heart that I really feel like I have to share. Don't ever lose sight of why Jesus came. Jesus didn't come just to take you to heaven. Jesus came to get heaven back inside of you. Jesus came so heaven could get back inside of you, so you could be one with God. He came to restore you back to the reason you were created in the first place. And that's to be love. And that's to manifest the heart and nature of God. The only reason there's so much hurt and pain and frustration and anger and jealousy and pride on the earth is because man fell. We were never created that way. And if we stay in that place, there's no life there. You know, even the pride of man is a detrimental thing to the human race. You know, the pride of man helps no one, not even the man that's in pride. Think about it. It's just a God unto himself. And opinions are a dime a dozen. Man, I am so convinced. I'm so free because of this gospel. If it's not the gospel, it's just nothing. It's just the way it is. I'm seeing so much. I'm thrilled. I haven't been here for 6 or 7 weeks. I mean, I'm just seeing God move. I'm seeing the gospel just run over things, man. Yeah. It's fun.
Yes.
I just see that there's no way I can even try to tell you about the last 7 weeks, because there's momentum building, but there's a lot of stuff. Just trust me, there's a lot of powerful things happening. I'm watching God transform lives, put purpose in people. Not just heal physically, he's healing all the way through. Spirits and souls, he's taking the strongholds of anger off of people. He's melting people. He's breaking people down. Because it's truth. Truth makes you free. All of a sudden, you hear the gospel clear, and you wonder, why do I have this stupid chip on my shoulder? And all of a sudden, you're the one that takes it off.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's just, yeah, because what's the big deal? I mean, come on. And I'm just watching God, but healings, physical healings have been off the charts. I can't even tell you how many people I've seen healed in the last 3-4 weeks. There's no way I can stand here and recount. I've seen, just in the last 2 weeks, probably 10 scoliosis has come out of Acts right now. Like right now, straight out of Acts. There's so many healings. I saw 4 deaf ears open in the last 7, 8 days, 10 days. It's just beautiful. But if I'd start backing up a little, there's so many testimonies. Watch this.
Right.
Virtually close to 100% in the last 3-4 months of arthritis, fibromyalgia, backs, knees, shoulders, tears, all that stuff. Virtually close to 100% healed across the board.
Yay, Jesus.
And I'm not praying for everybody. You know what I do.
Yeah.
I preach the gospel and I get the people to pray with me. me, in a sense, like with what I'm believing, get them involved in truth, get them to pray, and God just... I was in a Methodist area where the kingdom was, they're pursuing the kingdom, but they've never really seen much healing and stuff, but they want to believe it. And I stopped there for 2 days on my way home from North Carolina, and God just demonstrated it. I mean, I felt like he was just saying, I'm God. He wrecked them people. Them people, you would have thought they were praying for the sick for 20 years. They saw about 15 of their own healed right in front of their eyes. There was so much, it was so emotional and so dramatic, you couldn't have wrote the script better if you were a movie writer. I mean, we had a guy running in the field crying who was backslidden, didn't even want to come to the meeting. He's fighting his wife the whole way there. You know, if you think the last person to be touched is going to be him, and he got touched right away. Because mercy triumphs over judgment. God knows why the man's like that. He's just deceived. And God's love is greater than his attitude. Amen. God's love is greater than his deception. If this man really saw him, he wouldn't be like he is. If he'd just be face to face with God, things would be different. So the last guy you think's going to be touched, the wife said, you need to just hush up and come. He come. 15 years that guy's been hobbling around on knees. For 15 years he can hardly work anymore, that are degenerated. And the guys, he didn't even ask for prayer to my knowledge. God was just moving so profuse and healing that they just jumped on him and prayed for his knees. He might have asked. I don't remember him asking. I just know a couple guys went over and prayed. Bobby starts crying and yelling and going, thank you, Lord. The backslidden, the guy with the attitude. Thank you, Lord. You know, this isn't like, are you sure you feel better? Yeah, I feel pretty good. No, this was, he runs out from the pavilion into the grass. He's running. We like, it looked like he's going to leave. He's running. Oh, and it was a supernatural, phenomenal thing, because I was preaching in North Carolina, and they were sitting in Virginia. I was on the line. The peg post went right through the pulpit. So I was preaching from North Carolina, and God was healing them in Virginia. I was two places at once. They were getting healed here and here. So they were seeing them healed in two states at one time, bro. This thing is rocking, baby. It's just fun. The pastor told me afterward, and I went, that is so cool. If I'd have knew that sooner, I'd have messed something up. It was just cool afterward. I was like, you mean when she got healed, she was in North Carolina, they were in Virginia. Yeah, this is sweet. It was just cool. That post went right through there. That's just a side thought. It made me feel funny. So Bobby's out running around. He comes back in. He jumps up on this real high thing. Like, it's at least this high, back behind a platform. This guy's got degenerated knees. He's having a hard time walking. He goes, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. He looks at the guy and goes, whoa! He's just freaking out. I'm like, this is the way everybody ought to act. Why doesn't everybody act this way? So they're praying. This man's shoulder or elbow was injured for 12 years. That's all the farther he could open it. It was frozen. Them guys grabbed him and prayed with authority. These Methodist folks, they weren't saying, please, Lord, would you move? Elbow, you be healed right now. You come loose right now. Bones, you be... They're praying the kingdom because... I taught them. That's all. I taught them the kingdom.
Amen.
And they watched me pray.
Amen.
Well, actually, they did. They watched me lead a man in prayer whose wife was Esther scoliosis. Her body was contorted and her leg was way short. And I got everybody around and I said, I want the skeptics and unbelievers in the front row. Make sure you get a good seat. I said, anybody that doesn't believe, get close so you can see. So I got everybody in this precious... Baptist fellow was there, a pastor's there. He's in the front row anyway. He's sitting right there. He's just watching. And he's watching me. And he's realizing that I'm not under pressure. He's realizing that I'm not trying to produce anything.
Amen.
He realizes that I believe God, and I believe God's love for the lady, and I believe that God wants to demonstrate his kingdom to the people. And he realized that I wasn't under any pressure. And I could tell that he was reverencing that because... he didn't have the confidence to say to everybody, get around and watch this. Because there's that back in your mind thought, if you don't know what I'm saying, is, wonder if it don't happen.
That's
I didn't even think that. Oops, never even thought that.
Right.
Just got the crowd up there.
That's good.
It's got the husband up to do the honors. The husband never prayed for the sick. Wow. Imagine that. Come on, that ought to free every one of us up.
Amen.
Husband never even prayed for the sick. So it isn't about 14-week discipleship program. It's about understanding and learning
the
Lord. I'm not against some program, but what I'm saying is that's not what qualifies you. Believing God qualifies you. These signs follow those that
believe,
not those that have a resume of equipping.
Amen.
You can get to know so much that you're getting the way when it's time for the rubber to meet the road.
How about it?
And now you've got this big list of stuff you're trying to accomplish.
Oh, there.
Believing's the only thing I know in the Word.
Yes, that's right.
There's an authority in the kingdom. There's an authority. For weeks I've been telling people when they pray, I've been saying, listen, the authority of the kingdom is in you. It's been given to you by the Father.
That's right.
And the power and authority in the name of Jesus has been handed to you. And He loves them intensely.
Amen.
Now pray the kingdom over them by commanding this thing to change. That's what I've been instructing and teaching these Methodist folks to do. It's fun. The man's holding his wife's legs. Her legs are way short from scoliosis. And I looked at her and I said, honey, when your leg grows, you're going to feel it. I don't always say that, but you're going to feel it. And you're actually going to feel your spine go straight. And we're going to check it. She's already weeping because she can tell I'm serious. That pastor's staring at me like. He said, the husband never prayed for the sick. Leg grow. And she goes, she just did one of them things you ladies do when God said, you do it. And her back just. If you'd have seen what it did to that group of people, they went poof to the roof, their faith. Just poof. Infirmities, assignments, afflictions, they come to get on people. To antagonize you, to get in your head and hopefully get into your heart.
That's right.
So this stuff that's trying to stick on your flesh sometimes, I believe stuff like fibromyalgia, arthritis, that kind of stuff, I believe a lot of it's infirmity. I believe it comes to get on you, begin to identify you, and make your life such a hardship that it wearies you here and eventually takes a toll here.
Right.
I'm going to prove it because this lady's standing right here. The lady's healed. She's bowing. Everybody's crying. I said, you got a problem in your elbows. Your elbows are really hurting. The lady that just got healed. I thought I had a word of knowledge for her. And she said, no, my elbows are fine. It was too strong to know it was amiss. I said, somebody's got serious elbow problems right now, pain. Well, the guy with the locked elbows standing there. Another guy's here and a guy over here with work injury elbows. And this lady taps me. She's standing right here. She's looking at me with tears in her eyes. She said, it's my elbow. She's right here. I'm thinking, didn't need a whole lot of discernment. She's right there. I know you're close. I smell hurting elbows. Who is it? You're close. She's right there. Now, how cool is that? She's right there.
Yeah.
That happened in a meeting one time, and God healed a lady of diabetes. Totally. I went to pray for a boy, and I said, you don't have diabetes. He said, no. His dad said, no. I said, they're like, why? Did you say? I said, somebody does. And you're real close. It was the man standing right on my hip. The lady, I'm sorry, tapped me. And she said, I do. Grabbed her hand and prayed, and God just came and healed me. How cool is that? See, when you have those kind of experiences, you're way past debating. You're no good for unbelief, skepticism, cynicism. That stuff will eat your lunch. Throw it out of your life. Let it stop robbing you. Whoever I'm talking to, throw it out of your life. Because there's no amount of testimony and explanation that satisfies unbelief. It will talk its way around truth continually at the cost of itself. No explanation is good enough for unbelief. There's always a yeah, what, or a well, yeah, well. But there's none necessary for faith. See how extreme it is?
Yes.
There's none sufficient for unbelief. And there's none necessary for faith. Because the word of God is. Right?
That's right.
So she taps me. I said, she said, fibromyalgia. She said, oh my God. And I said, you know, honey, I said, that's coming right out of you. I said, fibromyalgia just bows to the blood of Jesus. Very aware of that. I see it all the time. We're going to pray for you. And who else? There's other people with elbows. Elbow. So this one guy's back over at these pews. And And they are praying for these guys, and this guy's arm that was locked actually grabbed his elbow and commanded. They just saw how this man prayed. He said, leg grow. So they thought, elbow, move. But they're saying it like children. It's all they know now. It's like they watched it, and it's what they were taught. So there's no pretense there. They're not trying.
Right.
They're not in the way.
Right.
They're so sincere. It just is beautiful to watch the gospel. That's why we got to keep our hearts so protected in that innocent, humble place through relationship. Because the closer you are in relationship to God, the less self-conscious you'll be. Self-consciousness stumbles us all the time, and we're trying to pray the right prayer, get the results, apply the right verse. Come on, that is just beauty.
It is.
That's just us trying to stir up and impress ourselves. Come on, we've all done that. If you spend any time praying for the sick, you get in trouble here, and then you're trying to produce the result. Pray the right thing and pull the right rabbit out of the hat. It's not like that. These guys just grabbed this man's elbow. I thought he was going to throw his arm off. He was bawling, and he was going, oh my Lord! Oh my Lord! And I'm thinking, dude, we're going to have to pray again if you don't quit that. He's doing it so hard, it looked like his arm was going to fly off at the elbow. I mean, it's like totally healed. This other guy they're praying, I just pointed to him, and I said, somebody get to him right now. You ladies, just grab him. Elbows be healed. He starts crying and going, oh my God.
Right.
Well, then I remember this lady's behind me. So I turn and I'm going to get the girls to pray. And I said, okay, we're going to pray for you. She's standing there bawling, going, I'm thinking, you don't want prayers?
You don't have to. When you pointed to him and pointed over there, everything just came out of my body.
And she's just crying. I'm going, how cool is this? It's infirmity. See, it's an assignment. It's an affliction. It's a spirit. It doesn't mean you're possessed. It means you're being antagonized by this lock.
Right.
And it tries to get in your head, get in your identity. And all of a sudden it gets you crying out to God as if this is you. All of a sudden it forces you into this place. Help me, Lord. Instead of the authority of the gospel, you're not who I am and I'm not who you are. Get out. You take a firm stand and you stand until it bows.
Yes.
You hear what I'm saying?
Yes.
Because if not, it starts to get the edge, and now you're running to God instead of from God facing it, crushing. Faith says to the mountain. You follow me? Faith says to the mountain, Matthew 17. Faith says to the mountain. It doesn't cry out to God. It says to the mountain.
Right.
Here's the unfortunate thing we've done with the gospel, the way we've preached it. We've preached a bunch of precepts that we apply in hopes of results. So we've heard so much teaching. The average Christian in this room has heard so much teaching on faith and the promises that if cancer shows up, we know everything to pray.
It's true.
But it's not a method. It's a knowing. It's a relationship. It's not an applying of principles. It's not saying the right thing to get the right result. And we've had a lot of hurt and frustration in all of our lives because we've reduced the gospel to applying precepts and doing our part to get a result.
Right.
It's not like that. It's the finished work of Christ. It's Jesus resurrected. It's the yes and amen of God. There's a place for authority. There's a place for you and I to walk just like Jesus walked. Amen. Stretch forth your hand.
Amen.
How could he say that with that kind of power? Because he sees the created value of man through God. And he sees the love of God for the man. And he sees who he is. Stretch forth your hand. Take your bed and walk.
Yes.
Boy, that sure beats the confession sheet and applying a whole bunch of promises for a breakthrough.
Anyway.
Come on, we've all been wearied with that. Now watch these Methodist people. They watched authority revealed and expressed through a man that never prayed for the sick, watched a lady. That lady, they were funny. These people were so overwhelmed and overjoyed. She fell off her chair crying. I watched that so many times. It was so fun. I was like, knock them over again. They were just overwhelmed. I watched a mom fall in the stones and cry when her daughter was healed.
That's
really crippled from scoliosis. Really crippled. Her hands were like that. Like when you put her straight, like she couldn't make her hands. Like, see how I can do that? I realize I can pull it back and make it like that, but that's all she could do. Like, she couldn't make them. She would have had to turn her body, her hands. When she backed up against the wall and brought her hands out like that, that's how they were. It was like an inch and a half to two. Her leg was way up. and her back was humping out. Okay? She wasn't doing well with the Lord. She's believing rational thoughts. Biggest enemy on the planet, rational thoughts. Well, if God loves me so much, how come I'm in this condition? That's rational.
Boo.
It'll sell you short. It'll sell you short of the love of God. It makes sense to man, but it leads to destruction. It gives you attitudes and issues and subpoenas God as if he's missing something. It causes you to be issue-oriented, arms crossed. And then you forget that he sent his son while we were lost and sent an innocent son to die for guilty people. And you forget the beauty of his love and the manifestation of his love because of rationale. Well, if God loved me, then why am I like this? And we forget there's a thief who crawls around and sneaks around, steal, kill, destroy, looking to devour whomever he can. And the people he devours are the people with little and low understanding. That's why it's good to be humble and get the chip off and get away from the pride so you can hear and see.
Yes.
Well, I'm staying in plane, okay? Yeah. Welcome home, Dad.
I've heard it said that you need to get the root out. Because the dandelion keeps growing back. You pray the prayer, it gets healed, and then the root causes the flower to regrow, and it keeps coming back.
That's just, there's a place for that, for the Holy Spirit to do that if necessary. That just all gets too complicated for me. I don't see it in the life of Jesus, so I don't preach it.
Okay. Yeah.
What I preach is truth that makes you free. So if a man sees who he really is, the root's taken care of. Make a tree good, and the fruit's good. So there's a place for the leading of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit loves everybody. So if we start trusting Him more, instead of making it complicated in methods of ministry that we have to do this before somebody can be free, it's not my experience. We get emails constantly of people that are totally free. Healed. It's actually hundreds. It's amazing. It's overwhelming. The people we see on the streets that we're praying for, I can't tell you that I bump into people on the streets and then they're sick again. I don't believe Jesus went into Capernaum and did all those miracles and left, and 2 weeks later they were all sick again. There's a place for love and the gospel to be so profuse that rules out every bit of doubt and unbelief and power of the enemy and roots and all that stuff. The gospel's greater than the roots in men's lives. Come on, if His mercy triumphs over judgment and grace is greater than sin, then surely the profuseness of His love is greater than the roots and the reasons we're sick in the first place. The gospel answered it all. I'm just convinced. And I have no conviction to change that. I search that stuff out, and actually some of you need to know my background on that, because I make comments about inner healing at times and stuff, and people squirm a little. I've studied out so much for years in that, because I was a pastor, and that was a relevant question, and I've asked the Lord in prayer for literally years to know the truth on this stuff. And I'm really sure in my own heart, my own conviction, the truth on this stuff. I'm not running across the nation on a pulpit projecting those beliefs, but it just comes out of me when I'm preaching without even making reference to it. It just does. The first time I met some of you all, the questions that came behind the scenes came right up to me and said, "Where's inner healing fit into everything you say? If you're talking to me like this, it sounds like..." And I'm like, and I didn't even mention that topic. It just, the question rises when I preach. You did it to me the first time I met you. There's several people. The gospel's enough.
Amen.
The blood of Jesus is enough.
Amen.
That doesn't mean that some people don't struggle with believing the gospel, but we continue to pursue the truth so that truth rises in the hearts of all men. We don't accommodate unbelief, we crush it. Come on, did you hear that? We're not accommodating unbelief, we're crushing it.
Yeah.
With truth. Jesus gave us one way, the way, truth. Not a way, the way. Amen? But here's the beauty of what I saw. I saw the simplicity of authority demonstrated, and then I saw them attack it, and then I saw an infirmity. Now, if you were the enemy, and you were afflicting someone, and you were watching authority rise in the heart of the people, and you saw it in the man that was preaching, and you were the enemy, and you saw that it was going to turn to you, and all that authority of heaven was going to bear on you, what would you do? So we turned to go pray for her. She's already healed. Why? Because it was a spirit of infirmity. It was affliction. It was already smoked out. And it said, "Whoa, wrong house, wrong place, wrong time." Come on, that's a big deal. Come on, them things sniff out fear. Do you know how many times we pray because of fear? We apply all the right Christian principles, and down inside, we're actually freaked out and afraid. Come on, we're loving our own lives, and oh my God, if you don't move, I'm in trouble. And we're praying all the right promises from all the wrong places. It's just true. We need to face that. Relationships, what will change that. Relationship with God. Getting face to face with Him where all of a sudden we're looking through His eyes and from His view. And all of a sudden you don't have the ability to fear like you used to because you see Him, not that. Come on, Jesus came to His own and His own received Him not. The world was a mess. He wept because they were sheep without a shepherd. And He wasn't overwhelmed with worry and fear because He was looking through the eyes of Father God. And what He saw from His spirit was a whole lot different than what men see through their eyes. And He rocked everything everywhere He went. Why? Because Jesus is Lord. And that same Jesus lives in us as the church. We just got to talk about this stuff and get it out and stop being afraid of being offended and hurt because of losses and things. We have prayed a lot of prayers because we're freaked out and afraid. Because we can't take anymore. God! And it turns into a plea for help instead of a release of kingdom authority. Come on, I've been trapped in it.
Right. Oh.
I had one of the most painful experiences back a couple of months ago when a friend died back home. We were praying and praying and praying for him. Praying and praying and praying for him. And we just kept watching it get worse, get worse, get worse. Oh, I hate that. And I was so caught. See how caught up I am in that? I'm still caught up in it. Ugh. I go home, he dies. We're out of town and he passes. He's with Jesus. I know that. He was an incredible, awesome man. I'm laying on my bed crying. I was crying. I wasn't hurt at God. I wasn't mad. I know He can live. Jesus paid an amazing price. I know what we're going after isn't a pipe dream. It's not. It's the gospel. I'm seeing so much momentum. I'm not backing off. I'm not backing off. I'm going after this thing. Man, I just watched a tumor melt off a lady's neck in public while we prayed. I saw a lady take off her brace and her wrist and she's totally healed in the store freaking out. We're seeing a lot of cool stuff. We're going to see more and more.
Yes.
Because we're not backing up. We're not backing up. We're not getting rational. Yeah, but brother. I don't even have time for yeah, but brother. Honestly, because then questions, they never produce life. They're usually coming from the intellect and the place of pain and hurt. They need addressed if the heart's right in the asking. But if it's animosity, you can't address the heart anyway. If there's arms crossed animosity in the yell butt, you don't even have grace to touch it. Keep smiling and going after Jesus. Come on, but there's a place that needs ministered to, I understand. But I'm laying on my bed and I'm crying. And I said, God, I said, Dale can live. I said, there's a place and I just need you to work more in me. I need you to work with me, deal with me, God, however you have to. But I need to understand what's going on. And he said, Dan, he said, what's the only leg you never saw grow out? There's only one leg I've never seen grow out that I watched prayed for. It was a 10-year-old boy with a 5-inch short leg and a shoe built up 5 inches. 5 inches short on a 10-year-old boy is a mile in your mind. Come on. I saw a leg on a man 4 inches grow out on the same weekend that I didn't see the 5-inch grow out. You'd think seeing the 4-inch grow out would motivate you to see the 5. But because of the ability to look with your eye and think with your mind, that's what the gospel wants to crush. What we're looking at with our eyes and thinking with our mind is the problem. Man doesn't believe with his mind, he believes with his heart. We're trying to process everything and intellectualize everything. All of a sudden, I'm holding the boy's feet, and the one's 5 inches short with no shoes on, that's a mile. Come on, if that baby grows out, let's just find somebody missing the leg at the knee.
Amen.
Where's the limit?
Right. Got it.
But we find out where our limits are when we're faced in those situations. When you're praying for a quadriplegic and there's atrophy and you can tell they're paralyzed and they haven't moved for 7 years and you just prayed your best prayer, the best you understand praying, and they're still sitting like that, that's where this goes bonkers.
Yep.
Come on, I'm talking straight. Right here's where you get activated. And now you have to decide where you go from there. And usually we end up praying more, harder, try to get more creative, and the other buddy says, let me try, and everybody does their little thing, and we all walk away.
Yep.
At some point. Come on, I've been in that circle too many times. Because I'm in the game. I am in the game. Let's get in the game. Don't be afraid to fail, because it's not about failing. It's about trusting and believing. It's not about failing. It's about believing. So I'm laying on my bed, and the Lord said, what's the only leg you haven't seen grow out? And I said, oh, little 10-year-old. Fuck. And I start crying now, because I realize God's fathered me. And he said, it's in your head, boy.
Yep.
It's in your head. And I'm crying because I'm thinking, man, I've seen all these other legs grow, and yet God's telling me as a father, excuse me, now watch what he said. I'm not trying to jerk emotion here. He said, Dan, he said, you have a resume building in what I'm doing, and then you have a resume that's trying to build in what hasn't happened. And they both have a voice. And he said, when you watch Dale getting worse, your mind says, here we go again, because you remember Sam and Dylan. Here's the names he mentioned. Sam and Dylan and Karen. And it's all people from the circle. And there are people, they all hurt me really bad. Not mad at God, hurt me because I know there's a place in what I'm preaching to see all of them restored. All of them. We've lost them. Thank God they can't be lost.
Yeah.
That I know.
Right.
So I'm okay there. See, I'm okay there, but I want to win now.
Yeah.
Because it's their destiny, it's their privilege, it's their paid price to go on and live.
Yeah.
And we're the body that needs to rise up in this truth. And not put it on the family and in the individual.
That's true.
But take responsibility for faith. He said, you let those losses start speaking to you and you don't even realize what's happening. You start saying, here we go again. This reminds me of Sam and Dylan. And now you start praying from the place of you're pressed. You're trying to pray more aggressive, more authority, trying to be okay and apply teaching instead of walking in revelation and truth. And he just showed me how this cycle happens, and you start, ugh, it's so frustrating because you love people and you want to see everybody whole. He was showing me on my bed as a father, it's right here, Dan. I am so glad that's the only answer that he gave me.
Amen.
Well, listen to me. I am so glad that's the only answer he gave me. Because if he'd have brought up the topic the church created called sovereignty and God's choice and God's time, we'd subvert faith and shipwreck faith. We might as well all go home. Whatever will be, will be. I'm so glad it's the only... Hi, Marianne. Bless you. I'm so glad that it's the only answer he gave me. What he's telling me is you stay in my presence. You stay in my face. You stay in that place of fasting and seeking me. And you're going to keep seeing me more. And the more you see me, the more you'll be like me and manifest.
Amen.
So there's no place for retreat. There's no place for plan B's and C's. There's no place for, See, what Satan likes to do is likes to get the need so highlighted and so huge that we do other things than stay content to keep growing up into him. He likes to get the need in the body of Christ and around the world so pressed that we feel like we're not doing enough, making it, and we try to do superficial things and other things. Just don't be distracted. Stay in a place of faith and prayer and enjoy growing. Seeds sprout, plants grow. We're trees of righteousness. Let's just enjoy growing. Stay in the rain, stay in the sun, and bear fruit. Just keep on growing. Don't be discouraged, okay? I'm watching the kingdom manifest everywhere we're going in a profuse and incredible rate where we're watching people. You should see some of the letters I've gotten and phone calls, and I read some emails. Ever since you, I love this. It's kind of what Penny was saying in the beginning. Ever since you've been here, we've been seeing people healed every week. We're so excited to live this Christian life now that we understand. Da 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 da. And I just read it and cry. There's a lot of them. That's not one. There's a lot of them. I just called the pastor of the Methodist Church to get some information about something. And his wife answered. And she said, Dan, I want to let you know that every time we have gathered together since you were here, we have seen people healed in our gatherings. And they had never seen people healed. And every time since, they're seeing them healed. The Baptist pastors hold me going, crying. Sting's going on everywhere. Bobby's leaping off the platform. Things are going. The man's throwing his arm off. You know, everything's going. And he's just crying. Sam, will you please bring this kingdom message to my people?
Amen.
And I said, well, and I had other pastors asking. I had like 3-4 invites right there. And I said, if you guys can get together and get in one place, I'll come. I can't drive 3-4 weekends, 6 hours apart, and go to each church. Let's get together and be the body. And I'll gladly come and work this.
Amen.
You know? Really? But one of the beautiful things was this young girl, Rational. I'll get back to it. It's amazing how new I was. Holy Spirit. This girl, remember, all that came out of being rational. She said, if God loved me, why would I be like this? So she kind of was living life like this. Come on, you're familiar with that. You've all been there. Whatever. Whatever. Right? So she was a whatever. And she kind of came to service because her mom compelled her because of the things they saw the night before. And all these scoliosis is being healed. And the mom told me, I'm going to try to get my daughter to come. I don't know when she should come because she's going through some stuff and not doing real well. She's not where she should be with the Lord. Some others say that no matter what. They want light shining around them. But she came. And she's just watching. She's sitting. I didn't even know they were there. I never even saw her. I never connected. I just preached. People started getting healed. The man with the shoulder, this was fun for me. I'm sharing this kind of just because it's fun for me. The guy with the elbow, I found a guy with 2 torn rotator cuffs, work injuries, hold something, got loose and wrenched him, tore his shoulders. He needed surgery in both shoulders. And he's got surgery scheduled. He's a young guy. And I said, where's Jim? He said, come here, buddy. Pray for his shoulders. You should have seen this. I didn't say nothing. I just said, would you pray for shoulders? He told us. He said, absolutely. Shoulders, you be healed. Pain come out right now. Be whole. In Jesus' name. Check your shoulders, boy.
This is the guy. The night before.
He's like, I thought I was revved up. This guy's like, rrr. Now watch what he did. Jesus' name. Check your shoulders, boy. The guy goes, oh my gosh. And he barely got out of his mouth. And Jim goes, oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So reverent. And he starts weeping. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord. And he just goes on like that for 3-4 minutes. The pastor, Pastor Rick, standing over here. Oh, Lord, we just want you. We want you, Lord. And it was such a hunger and a reverence. It was overwhelming. So the boy's standing there, totally healed. I said, sir, you needed prayer. You had your hand up. He said, my leg and foot is terrible. It's excruciating. It never goes away. It's hard to walk. It was an injury. I said, where's Bobby?
Bobby's the guy with the knees who didn't want to come.
Where's Bobby? Bobby's over watching other people get prayed for. He's weeping. He's over there. I said, Bobby, I need you. Pray for his foot. Okay. Didn't tell him how to pray or nothing. Picks up the foot. Foot to be whole. All pain go in the name of Jesus. Guy's going, that's amazing. That's unbelievable. Bobby's sitting there. Ooh. His wife was crying so hard. Bobby's wife, because he knew this was the change of Bobby's life. She was bald.
Wow.
So all of a sudden my shoulder gets tapped. And here's the girl with the crippled up body. I mean, it's contorted. Her body. I'm not being crude. Scoliosis contorted her body. And her shoulders weren't square, her back's humping. And I said, yes, honey. She said, could you please pray for me? And then I saw mom. I said, oh my gosh, you're the one, you're the daughter with scoliosis. I looked at her and it just came right at me. I said, I'm so glad you came tonight. It's good you came tonight. Your back's going straight. When I said it, she went, ooh, she's already crying, right? Now watch the love of God. We sit her in the chair. I hold out her feet. She said, it's not just my feet, it's my arms. And her arm was like that. I said, that's okay, you can put your arms down. And I just want to look at your feet. She said, it's short. It was real short. Like, real short. And I said, okay. I said, I looked up. I said, oh, my goodness, Mom. I said, do you want to do the honors? She said, oh, that's my baby. That's my baby. She's crying. She's bawling. And she gets down on the stones, right on her knees. It's a side tent that they had set up. And they had that baby filled. They were 4 hours. She picks up her feet. And guess what? Totally normal. The girl never felt a thing. I said, honey, stand up. You're already healed. stand up. She stood up. She's square. Her arms are straight. She goes like this three times and falls uncontrollably. Never prayed. The preaching of the kingdom. God just knew. So you build and you let momentum rise through those things. And then when you bump into stuff that doesn't budge, you stay in this place and you keep growing. You don't say, well, yeah, but... Come on, don't do that to yourself. Because if we would see what he sees, we would do what he does. Period. The only time in the Bible it didn't happen when men prayed was Matthew 17. And Jesus' response was, if you have faith, you'll say the mountain. It's not a heavy word like, you're saying I don't have faith? What he's saying very simply is, when you start seeing what I see, you'll do what I did. Your eyes get, and your mind gets, come on. So watch this girl. Watch what happens. This girl's standing there bawling. She says, it's going. It's going. Mom is amazing. She takes her daughter, bends her down, 90 degrees. Sure. I said, Mom. She said, it don't matter. It don't matter. This is my baby. And I'm like, okay. There's the daughter with her shirt up over her head. Her whole back's out. I'm like, Mom, she said, it don't matter. I know my baby's back. And I'm thinking, I ain't getting in the way. She's going here. I actually had to look. I had to look. Rick, I had to look. It was Jesus. Little spine sticking out, vertebrae straight down. It's 21, frail little girl spins over, and there's a little back popping out. Where it needs to be, right? So Mama stands up, goes, oh, there it is. She's down again in the stomach, Mom. It's so fun. So the girls got her shirt back. She stood up. And she's just bawling, and I held her. I said, it's okay, honey. Jesus loves you. Listen, just let him love you. You run hard after him. Come on, there's nothing but him. Not cheering or preaching. I don't know what I said, but I was preaching her out of that lie she was living, right?
Yeah.
So in her attitude, skepticism, God came and healed her. All of a sudden, my shoulder's tapping. I figured somebody else for prayer. It's her daddy. Tears running down his face. Sir, I asked me to come tonight. I've been running from God for a long time. Tonight I want to come home.
Amen. Yes.
Yeah. I grabbed your hand. Welcome home. We pray. He's crying. Demonstration of God's power. It's not word only. It's power.
Yes.
Husband. Whatever. Church stuff. Whatever. Doesn't know. I did it for years.
Right.
Not him. Did it for years. At the cost of everyone. Being right when I was so wrong. Here's the deal, guys. You're on the planet to become love.
Yeah.
Everyone in this room, the only reason you're alive is to be found in the image of God. Everything around you is taking a cheap shot at you and trying to pull you from that value. The fall of man and the way we all grew up and the rational thinking we were all subject to our whole life, worry, fear, dread, fret, and all that stuff, it's all trying to eat your lunch constantly. Until you settle in your heart that you're created in God's image and that the goal and destiny of your Christianity is not making heaven. That's what we teach. The goal and destiny of your Christianity is becoming love.
Amen.
Come on. It's becoming love.
Amen.
To where you get alone in a bedroom and close the door and the days of hurt and offense and people owing you anything is over. Period. Over. It's a place of prayer and exchange where you give up your ways and you take on God's ways and the fullness of who He is comes in to who you are. It's an exchange in prayer. It's not a decision you make one day and then you just become up. It's a prayer place. It's a place where grace changes the way you see and think. And all of a sudden you get thrown into the same thing that used to eat your lunch and all of a sudden you respond totally different because you've been with Him. You know, I said this in Tennessee and it sounded really weird, but I'm going to say it. Intimacy with God is incredibly important. If two people come together and keep being intimate together, I know this is going to sound weird, but hear me out. Somebody's going to get pregnant sooner or later. Or try not to. This is a spiritual thought. God's seed wants to go into Joe in the place of intimacy. It's not a perverted sexual thing. It's so powerful. And he wants Joe to get pregnant with who he is and give birth to his will. And the closer I am and the more face-to-face I am with God, the more who he is manifests inside of me so it can come out of me. You want your spirit out like this when you're walking. You're going to bear down and push and bring forth the will of God. Serious.
That's the word.
Why are you looking right?
I am. I'm really flaking out now, man. Pray for me.
Serious. It's a spiritual principle. It's not a... Come on, it's spiritual. Come on. Everything God created us to experience in the natural, there's a dynamic spiritual truth there. True? Come on. That whole intimacy thing. All of a sudden there's a reproduction of the seed. Everything that comes forth from that seed has that seed in it.
Right.
Oh my gosh, you can find the genetics of that seed in everything. That it produces, right? Spiritually.
So this little light of mine, that's what it's all about. It's all about manifesting Jesus when things are good and when things are really, really tight.
Yes.
God. Yes. Don't think the enemy doesn't understand this simple precept. Your understanding and the why behind your life and your understanding of what I'm talking about is revealed in the pressure. When you respond like a mere man, you're actually revealing that you don't understand what I'm saying. It doesn't mean you're evil or bad or missing God. It means you're going to be subject to hardship and more pressure. When you respond like a man without this kingdom truth and you just fall apart in the midst of pressure, you're actually revealing the lack of understanding of why you are and what the gospel's accomplished. And you're obliging the enemy to keep the pressure on. I say it this way. I hope you can get this because I can feel it's not sticking real good right now. Satan believes every one of us loves ourselves a whole lot more than the God that we say we love. Satan's convinced that you and I are self-preserving, that the effects of the fall are still prevalent in us. Self-centered? Look what we've done with the gospel. We've made the gospel all about us and smooth seas and blessings and provision. And God's here tonight to meet all of your needs. That's what we say all the time in this country. In third world countries, they give their life to Jesus knowing they're probably going to die, and some of them don't even have food and whatever, and they're persecuted and da-da-da-da. And the mark of their sincerity, the mark of their character and their understanding and the honor of the gospel is the fact that none of those things change their commitment. Because they see the truth about their life now. And that it's eternal. And this is a little wisp in a vapor of time to leave a legacy and mark society with truth. Spend it on ourselves and pray more prayers for us, more prayers, more promises for us. I'm just saying, there's a trap there. God wants to bless. I had everybody grab each other and pray blessings. But there's a healthy side to that. There's a healthy side to that side of blessing. But if you're letting everything around you determine who you are, and if it's going good, you're great, and if it's not, you're not great, man, you're a sitting duck. Because the motive and perspective of your life is exposed, not just to your own heart and to God, but to the enemy. So let me just squeeze him a little more. What's a boxer do in a ring when he senses his opponent's getting staggered and weary? Come on, did you ever watch a boxing match and the guy lands a blow and he's got the guy a little staggered? Did you ever see, it could be the 9th, 10th round and you're thinking they're both dead on their feet, they're too tired, they ain't conditioned enough, they ain't even going to make it to 12, somebody's going to fall over from exhaustion, and all of a sudden the guy senses his opponent's hurt, and it's like all this energy, and he just starts going nuts to take him out. Come on, it's the same principle. I'm going to say this is... Look, there's gentleness in my heart, but it's pointed. You know how I talk. I'm straight shooting. We need it straight. When we're in trials and there's... We grumble. We complain. Oh my, here we go again. I can't take this. You're actually exposing something that you... You're making a statement. That you're in this for you. It's all about you. 1 Corinthians 10 says... Hold on here with me. See, don't lose me. Now, I'm not being harsh. I'm trying to love you with this truth because it'll change everything. 1 Corinthians 10 says, we have all the things written about their in the wilderness and their experience in the wilderness, the Israelites, for our admonition so we don't make the same mistakes. Come on. A lot of us, if we were in their shoes today, even having heard the gospel now that Jesus rose from the dead, would be the same way they were without the revelation. Because we'd be like, if I'm in covenant with God and God loves me, where's my blessing? And why isn't God pulling through? And where is he?
He's always there.
But there's a lot of people, if you're not careful, here we are with the new covenant, New Testament revelation of the risen Christ that reveals who we really are and why, and we've turned it into still all about us, that if we were thrown in that wilderness, the Israelites were in this covenant with this revelation, a lot of us would respond the same way they did without the revelation.
Sure.
Come on! Now, I'm not saying that's you, but I'm saying it's... See, the Bible says when you grumble and complain, you're destroyed by the destroyer. Do you know why that's true? When you grumble and complain, you're saying it's all about me. I'm in this for me, and God ain't pulling through. So it's a self-serving gospel you've embraced. When the gospel is die to yourself, to live for him, or through him. You follow this? So the Bible says... to not murmur and complain. Now watch this. The children of Israel went into the wilderness. Why did they tell Pharaoh to leave the people go to go into the wilderness? They were to go into the wilderness. It was to be a place of worship, to break away and meet with their God and hold a feast. And worship their God in the wilderness. So the wilderness is to be a place of worship.
Amen.
In the church, we say, pray for me, brother. I'm in the wilderness. I say, well, it must be the Israelites and not Jesus's. Because Jesus was led to the wilderness by the Holy Spirit. Now watch. Jesus passed through. Do you know that Jesus accomplished everything in the flesh as a man that man failed? He's the perfect sacrifice. Everything man failed in, Jesus fulfilled. He didn't even come to take away the law, but to fulfill it. So they never passed the test of the wilderness. So Jesus came and was led right into the wilderness. The only difference between their wilderness and his was he was selfless and they were selfish. They said, it'd be better for us if we'd have never came here. It'd be better for us if we were still in Egypt. It'd be better for us. It'd be better for us. It'd be better for us. We're not created for us. We're created for the image of going up. By the way, it's not my preaching. That's not why they're leaving. They already told me they had to leave. I just wanted you to not follow them and think it was the preaching. Bless you guys. See you. It was so good seeing you again. So they're in the wilderness, and all of a sudden, what is this? All of a sudden, it's all about them. They forget that he's there. They forget that they're free from the bondage of Pharaoh and slavery. They forget that he's there. Come on. It doesn't matter where you are. If he's there, yay. But all of a sudden, it's not good enough. And they're complaining. And now they're loathing the manna. And nothing's good enough. Because they made it all about them. God's supposed to take better care of them. They didn't realize that it was a place to go to know God and know his faithfulness and know his love. It was a place to go and know him so they could turn around and manifest him to the nations. Come on. It was a place of worship. The wilderness is a place of worship. Why? Because it's peace that surpasses understanding, joy inexpressible. It's rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks. Why? Because it's not about you. It's about taking on his nature and manifesting him to the world. So Jesus goes into the wilderness by the Holy Spirit. He's fasting 40 days. He's tempted. Angels come minister to him. He leaves the wilderness in the Spirit and power. They're in the wilderness and they die there. He's in the wilderness and comes out with the Spirit and power. Same wilderness, two perspectives. Come on. I'm telling you guys, oh my God, you know me, I'm not one to play emotions, but man, do I feel this. The days of grumbling and complaining have to stop in our lives, behind the scenes, and the murmuring, and the oh my, and not thankful. Because what you're saying is the gospel's not enough, and you're saying it's all about me, and you're making yourself a sitting duck for the enemy to just keep taking cheap shots. Now that Jesus paid the price of his blood to redeem you. I'm crying that out. Please don't find yourself murmuring and complaining and grumbling about your life and your circumstances and people. God forbid you complain about people. If people knew what they were to know and saw what they were to see, they wouldn't be what they are. You ought to cry for them, not because of them. Because it's a sure sign that men don't see. Come on, I don't usually get this intense, but well, I guess I do. I just... Come on. You're setting yourself up. You're making yourself... You're actually saying that I'm in this gospel for other reasons, and you turn into an Israelite. God forbid you wander for 40 years when the land's 11 days away. God forbid you die there and never even enter into the promise that now is in this life. There's so many analogies here. There's scriptures. Paul says the promise is for the life that now is. Romans 5:17 says, if you receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness, you'll reign as kings in this life.
Amen.
Yes, Lord.
If you have a wrong perception of that and you teach it wrong, it's almost like it creates a haughty thing in the church.
Yeah.
People say, I have the mind of Christ, and they almost puff up and get haughty. Like, what's that mean? Look in the Bible. If Christ suffered in the flesh, arm yourself with this same mind. For he that suffered in the flesh will cease to sin. That's one definition of his mind. Here's the other one. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. Now we're talking the mind of Christ.
Yes. Well,
let this mind be in you that was also in the mind of Jesus. That he considered himself of no reputation, laid down his glory, didn't need to be a somebody. He died to the point of death so you could rise up and be a somebody in him. Come on. He didn't come to be served, he came to serve. He didn't come to be set on a pedestal, he came to die on a cross to raise you up and seat you in heavenly places. We likewise should respond in that same humility, for greater love hath no man than this, he would die for another. And we have too much time for attitudes, despair, and complaining, and griping, and murmuring, and reasons why our lives aren't where they should be. They are false, deceived excuses, now that he's died and rose again. I said, all right, I'm talking like this to y'all, because I'm not pointing to anybody personally. So people, if you preach it like this and the shoe fits, just go, whoa, and kick it off. If you end up being Cinderella in this message and you perfect fit, just squeal and kick it off. That's how simple repentance is.
Yes.
Repentance isn't, oh man, I've been blowing it for 12 years. That's not repentance. Repentance is, you're kidding me. It's that, oh my God, that's where the, that was a stumbling block. Dude, never again. That's repentance, change of heart and mind. I was walking this way, but now I'm walking this way. Yeah.
Yes, today.
Yeah. Come on.
Thank
you, Jesus. So that's a heart cry to me about this murmuring and complaining thing.
Amen.
Just the worrying. The worrying. Come on. All you hear, if you don't fill your heart with the revelation of Jesus and stay in fellowship, you know I don't talk about TV, I don't talk about music, I don't say don't do this, don't watch this. Who's ever heard me even preach that way? You've never heard me preach that way. This is what you're going to hear me say tonight. If you are hooking up to the news and the economy and all this stuff in the world, what are you thinking if that's all you're watching? In the face of watching that, you ought to be declaring truth and decreeing and thanking God and releasing blessing over the land. Not just looking going, oh my God, this is hard times. Come on. There's worry, there's fear. It's an economic strain, they're saying, and a pull and a push. And all of a sudden, the jobs aren't the same, and the income's not the same, and the business isn't the same. And some of you are feeling that. It's not time to fall apart. It's time to say, I thank you for this covenant. I thank you, you're amazing God, and you love us to send your son and die for us. And surely, Lord God, you'll care for us. Now watch this. We think that that means that every time we'll get exactly what we need when we need it. No, he'll care for us by showing us the right point of view in the midst of that pressure so we always manifest him come hell or high water. Paul was content when he had and when he didn't have.
Well, Paul, you should have been in more faith.
No, he was content. He knew how to be full and he knew how to hunger. He knew how to lack and he knew how to abound. Paul's spirituality wasn't measured by the fact that he always had more than enough. It was measured by the fact that he manifested him and never backed off all the way through. Even his persecution and chains were a glory. He said to the church, it's for your glory, so that you understand what surrendered Christian life is. It's not that it's a bed of roses, it's that my life is for him and for his glory, and it marks the hearts of men. That a man's not only willing to live for what he believes, but die for what he believes. Come on, we don't understand that in this country. We preach the American gospel and there's no such thing. There's no such thing. There's one gospel. It's deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow him. Period. It's put off the old, put on the new. Wear Christ. And shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Who's going to let it shine, see? Or are we going to get caught up in economic crisis and the way people are and aren't acting and caught up in trivial trifling things that mean nothing and get deceived and make them the reason we're less than what we're called to be, now that he shed his blood and gave this wonderful Holy Spirit?
Whoa.
It's convicting. I think God and Holy Spirit is greater than all those things. It's our willing to yield and go through the wilderness like Jesus. Jesus was selfless. He's the living epistle of love. He went into the wilderness for you and I. Man. You say, oh, then brother, then I'll never have to go through it. No, he showed us how to go through it. Because the Israelites didn't do a good job, and Paul had to write about it so we don't follow them and we follow Jesus. Jesus said, follow me. Don't follow the Israelites. I don't know why I'm saying this, but you don't follow your best friend either. You follow Jesus. If your best friend's following Jesus, you follow them as they follow Jesus. But let the gospel rule. Not your best friend. I don't know why I'm even saying that. It doesn't matter to me. I just say it. Y'all all right?
Yeah.
Nobody feels spanked, right? I'm not spanking. Nobody. I promise. It's not even in my heart. I'm not even feeling like spanking. Speak loud.
The unbelief of people
blame
from like others in their life.
Bless you,
lady.
Right.
So, idolatry is...
That's a simple principle, yep. That's a simple principle of what you don't let go of, you lose. If you find your life, you lose your life. There's so many people cleaving to their own life and they don't even like what they're cleaving to. Man, let the thing go. You know, Paul says we've opened our hearts to you. We've held nothing back. We've restricted you in no way. You're only restricted by your own affections. You said that. The sower sows the word, and the seed falls on several types of ground. True? We want the good ground. That's sincere ground that's laid down our life for the glory of God. And we're asking God to take all that He is and fill all that we are so we manifest Him. Amen, Sylvia.
I just want to say, somebody gave a definition of idols that was very helpful for me. He said an idol is anything that you have to check with before you answer God.
Ah, that is good. Anything you have to check with before you answer God?
Intellect.
Yeah. There's a lot of things that can be idols. Y'all all right?
Yeah.
Man, it's just good. Let's be Christians for the right reason. We are not Christians to go to heaven and get our name in the book. That's what America sells. Thank God for eternal life and thank God that our names are in the book. That's not our motive. Our motive is to put off the old and put on the new and become love what we were from the beginning. Our motive is to get heaven in us. We're not waiting to go to heaven. Heaven wants to come and invade into us. Look, you're prime real estate. You paid the highest price to live here. He could live anywhere. God could say, Mansion B. Could he?
Yes.
But for you, it cost blood, his own son. He didn't cut a corner. He manifested love, and in this love is manifested, that God sent his only son that you might live through him. Come on, you're prime real estate. He paid the highest price to live and abide and dwell in you because it's the reason you were created from is in you. And we resist that, not understand it. And we hold on to something that was never given by God. It was given through the fall. And it's called yourself. Selfishness is the root of all sin. You talk about roots. Selfishness is the root of all sin. Self-centered, self-serving motive. It's the root of offense, pride, argument, strife, bitterness, jealousy, self-centeredness. Love is amazing. It takes no account of suffering wrong. It covers everything. It never fails. Doesn't
seek fulfillment. Amen. Amen.
You got self-centered Israelites dying in the wilderness, and you got a selfless Jesus with the Spirit and power. It's not a hard choice, guys. It's only costing you what was never yours. You're giving up what was never yours. You inherited it through the fall. Amen. But all those attitudes and mindsets that we fight with, we were taught them by a lie our whole life. Just the ability to be in pride in a moment, like, no, whatever. And have an opinion. To come home from work and feel like somebody because you gave somebody a piece of your mind. Come on, you come home and you actually feel, man, I sure gave them a piece of my mind. What are we thinking? Come on, we've all lived that way. Used to be so proud like that, I'd tell somebody off and it would make my whole day. That would just keep me deceived for another day. Then you live to be right instead of righteous. And live to prove men wrong instead of love them. Sounds like a fall to me. So what do you say in our hearts right now? We just say yay to God and just yield ourselves as we pray. Would you do that?
Yes.
Father, we just thank you for the truth. We just thank you for the pointed, sharp edge of the sword. That hurts so good. So often you would love us with truth. That Jesus, you would come and manifest love. Wow. Jesus, you're not asking us to do anything you didn't already do. You've done everything on every count. You've manifested this thing. You're not asking one thing of any one of us that you haven't already yielded to and accomplished. You're amazing. We honor you. You're so much more than our hero, even our Lord. You're amazing. We're unsearchable. We honor you right now. We thank you. Holy Spirit, teach us. Teach us the life of Jesus, the heart of Jesus, the motives of Jesus. Help us to see our fellow man like you do. Help us to judge every circumstance righteously in every situation, to not be so short in natural wisdom. Holy Spirit, I'm asking, we're asking for grace to just gird our hearts and our minds, for grace to overtake us and tuck us into the secret place of truth in your presence. And Lord, we just ask you to manifest yourself through our lives. Like never before. Yes. Father, where we stumbled before, not stumbling anymore. Where we were vulnerable before, not vulnerable anymore. Father, where we were hurting, not hurting anymore. Thank you for the great grace of God that changes our view, our perspective, even our identity, God. Thank you for bringing us into right standing and right relationship with you. Holy Spirit, I ask you. I'm just asking that the Spirit of truth would come and saturate every heart and every mind. I just ask you, Lord, to come and make the transforming difference that many of us have been crying for. Just come and do it because you're God and you love us. Thank you for sanctification right now in this room. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for what you're doing. Thank you. Taking away heaviness, taking away the weight of the world, taking away the overwhelmingness of circumstances. God, thank you for breathing on us and literally liberating us into the place of your presence. Your kingdom come, your will be done on this earth as it is in heaven. God, thank you, heaven, your blessing, Lord, all over this place. Spirit of truth, sustain. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Okay.
I came the last couple days of that came and went back, right? And you had said something about pain.
I was preaching.
Yeah.
It's really cool.
Amen.
I was in a place that's awesome. God, thank you. I was just in a place Sunday. Vincent, you were there, right? We were there, and a lady came up with a picture of the car. She said for 15 years her knees were aching her. This Bobby was 15. I didn't get across up. She told me the same. 15. She couldn't bend, do nothing. The one lady who's best trying to go to the gym and work out with her, she's always like, oh my gosh, standing on her knees. She said, while I was preaching and sharing the redemption principles towards the end, all the things stuck her knees in her toes. Isn't that cool, man? She had a herniated disc, all the pain left, and the two numb spots started to come alive on her body. How sweet is that? Jesus is amazing. The truth makes you free. We're not waiting for just a miss. We're not waiting for an experience in the divine touch, so to speak. That's all great. Thank God that he does all that stuff. But there's a place to live and abide in truth. We ought to pursue truth, because truth makes us free. Amen? It's about seeing. Yeah, in the spirit, not seeing to believe, seeing what we see we become. So anything that's here in the way of fibromyalgia, arthritis, cancer, sickness, whatever, we need you to stand to your feet quickly. We're going to pray for you. Jesus is here. He's amazing. Sure. In the authority of Jesus' name, we're going to pray over every person. You just stay right there, hon. We're going to pray for you. Is it you got fibromyalgia still hurting your body? What do you got? I'm just feeling funny. Just trying to get all over.
A lot of going on where I live. A lot of people with problems.
Okay.
Things that shouldn't be. Most of the things that you said in the session.
So there was a good message for
yes.
your heart.
Oh,
get
yes,
it right
yes,
through.
Yes.
How's your body? What's in your body?
But right now I feel a lot of pressure in my head.
Okay.
And, you know, my back. But I'm actually, I'm doing things a lot better than when
good.
I used to.
Good. Good. You're receiving. Silas had prayed. You got
Silas,
healed
yes,
in your knees
yes,
or something, he said.
Yes.
That's awesome. So just the finished work tonight, just the rest of that. Stand up on your feet if you need prayer, please. I didn't forget you here. I just got talking. Anybody else, please, don't sit if you've got any kinds of arthritis issues, no meds for anything. Now, church, come on. The authority of Jesus' name's here. I don't want long prayers, please. Don't get heady in your prayers. Command the infirmity to go. In Jesus' name. Speak to the thing, command it to go. Prayer, lock it up. Keep your hands up if you need prayer. We don't lose you when everybody stands up. If somebody gets to you, you can put your hand down. Keep your hand high until somebody comes to you to pray. There's a young mother holding a little baby standing with her arms raised. Yeah, okay. As soon as somebody gets to you, put your back at the door back there. You keep your hand up on the stage and see your body there. You just got to find it, that's all. You need something? Yeah. You all do? Good. In Jesus' name. Right here. You need somebody to press this down, right? Command them home. Command them free. In the name of Jesus.
Thank
you, Lord.
Thank
you.
Just
to
respond to this
God.
Holy.
How are you, sweetheart? It's been so long.
Oh, God, I worship you. How have you been, young lady?
You good? On this side,
in the name of Jesus, pain, leave, dysfunction out in Jesus' name.